Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, Ruth here. And now the beef price has gone rocketing up for reasons no one's explained. We are minted here at Brookfield, rolling in the stuff. If you are too, you might consider chucking a bit towards Dumpty Dum. You can do it through patreon.com. Then you get all the extra stuff, apparently. Interviews and, you know, whatever it is they do. I don't know. I haven't got time to listen. Too busy trying to wrestle Jill into a home. Bye.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
We are on Market Street in San Francisco. And if I go round and ask everybody to introduce themselves, you're going to believe that we're actually not. So I'm going to start with the American first to prove that we are in America. So who are you?
I'm Adrienne Covarrubias.
Natalie Down.
Simon Willison.
Charlotte.
Ratcliffe. Need a little bit more, Charlotte.
Charlotte Ratcliffe.
Ian Griffin. Right, so we are actually in San Francisco. It's the edge of the known world. And we are going to do what all good dum-de-dummers do at the end of an archers meetup, which is, what is it, Adrienne?
We sing a dum-de-dum.
We sing a dum-de-dum. And it's customary for the new members to actually start the rendition.
Dum-de-dum-de-dum-de-dum.
No, that's not how you start.
Oh.
One, two, three. This is a group thing, sir.
Sorry.
It's a group thing.
All right, okay.
That's a rookie error.
You can edit that out.
No. For comic effect, we'll leave that in. All right.
Okay.
So.
A one and a two. Three.
Dum-de-dum-de-dum-de-dum, dum-de-dum-de-da-da, dum-de-dum-de-dum-de-dum, dum-de-diddly-dum, dum-de-diddly-dum-de-diddly-dum, diddly-dum, dum-de-dum-de-dum-de-dum, dum-de-diddly-dum.
There you go. This is the San Francisco chapter of Dum-de-dum Forward Slash the Archers meetup signing off.
Perfect.
This is Dumpty Dum, the show about the reality docudrama that is centred on Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands. I'm the casual hookup that is Robert Wilson, and with me I have the endless bickering that is...
Lucy Freeman.
And the last part of our friends with benefits arrangement, folks, is you. This week's Dumpty Dum is from Royfield's San Francisco posse. And Lucy, if someone wants to send us a Dumpty Dum, how can they do that?
If you would like to sing us a Dumpty Dum, leave us a plot prediction... Or invest heavily in a lunatic enterprise because you're a bit annoyed that someone ate your sticky toffee pudding, then call us on 02030313105 or leave us a message on SpeakPipe. Thanks to Cosmo for his podcast roundups, for doing the Dumpty Dogs, Shambridge for her voices, and to Derek, the lone in the back bedroom. Derek is very saddened at the resignation of Robert Mugabe, who is always regarded as an inspirational leader. He has written to Mr. Mugabe, offering
sanctuary. On this week's episode, we hear views from Glyn Fullerlove, who thinks Ambridge needs some reading, Jane, who's had an epiphany, Martin, who thinks Justin's going to be fingered, Lord, I knew I was going to laugh on that. I'm such a dirty devil, aren't I? More than can be said for Pip. Oh, or anyway, Archie will be coming in for that anyway later. Or is it Albie? I can't remember what. And Lord Louise, who thinks Matt's an interesting arsehole. And the less said about fingering interesting arseholes, the better. But first, let's brace ourselves for a fingering from Lucy V. Freeman and her week in Ambridge.
We We began the week with Bert losing his voice. He's clearly got the same bug as Kathy, Jamie and Carol Toboggan. But he's all right because Peggy stepped in. She loves lecturing people and doing it from a pulpit is even better. She left fingernail marks down the side of it as Alan tried to haul her out. So Matt has now actually gone, allegedly. Lillian came into his hotel room and discovered a suitcase in the corner. A little voice came from it. I did it all for you, pusscat. Lillian decided to dob Matt in to the old Bill. In the end, she gave him an hour. I don't know why she bothered. He only ever takes 3.5 minutes. Pip and Toby are no longer friends with benefits. They are now just friends. And the benefit is we don't have to listen to them snogging. And anyway, Alfie sounds much better, largely because he's completely silent. Ed donned his superhero cape yet again to bail out Johnny, who'd forgotten that Diesel makes the tractor go brum brum. Ed, I put the pointy metal thing in a big tractor and it's not making a noise. I've broken the tractor, Ed. Isn't Diesel brilliant? Karina, understandably, gave Ian and Adam the bum's rush, having walked into what appeared to be a total madhouse featuring two massive divas having a hissy fit and a small hospitality manager wailing about the police. Karina decided that Ambridge was too far away. From what? Yeah, well, the thing is, right, the baby's going to be in my stomach and I'm like not going to be in Ambridge and you're going to be in Ambridge, so that's why I can't have the baby thing for you. Anyway, okay, thanks, bye! Ian, who has gone from having nothing bigger to worry about than his meringues going chalky, is now living in a world where his husband goes around decking gangsters in car parks and is now facing a manslaughter charge. He's not taking it terrifically well, as you'd expect, and is taking it out on his sous chef, Bailey, who rather than spend any time with Ian, was having all his teeth pulled out. Oh, abscesses can be crippling, said Adam cheerily. He's sounding more and more like bloody Eeyore every time he opens his mouth. He even managed to say, another cup of coffee, and made it sound like someone announcing the Black Death. Anyway, Roy's eternal search for a mother figure has ended up firmly focused on Lexi. He went through Hayley, a woman so maternal she's a walking breast, on to Elizabeth, who had a bit of a naughty Norlan nanny thing going on, had a bit of a pop at Auntie Cardboard, but she misunderstood and thought he was collecting for an erectile dysfunction support group, and finally settled on Lexi. Firm, sensible, mature Lexi. Roy called Ian into the staff room to have a go at him, and Lexi elbowed the door open and promptly went batshit. Ian was slightly staggered as she's only been there 3 weeks and he wasn't expected to be savaged by a Bulgarian border terrier. Roy sat in the corner going, Mom, shut up, you're embarrassing me! Oh. Justin's back from wherever he's been and he's very cross. Lillian, I really am quite annoyed. You've got me involved with some very nasty boys and they've been rude to my friend Latif and now he won't let me go to his house in the summer vac. Peggy has been hanging out with Nolitando, just chilling that. She's transferred all Peggy's music onto Peggy's iPhone, given her an eighth of weed, a bottle of vodka Red Bull and a couple of E's. Then they went down the laurels to sit by the bird feeders and drink White Lightning. Peggy's got a new hoodie and then they went robbing from the shop and got a phone case and a copy of Good Housekeeping by mistake. Auntie Cardboard, having done absolutely sod all for decades, has now gone completely berserk and decided to invest her little all in Melling Equestrian, based on Hugo Melling winking at her from across the room. We spent an exciting 10 minutes at the station with Harassment and Juliet Bravo. Mom was very impressive. Constable, she said, have you got enough to make an attempted murder stick? There was an attempted murder stick, shouted Harassment excitedly. What's that? Then Juliet Bravo took Adam into the police station and told him he was going to be recorded at twice the speed as they all had things to do later. We got a surprise visit at the vicarage. Usha appeared. Oh, hello, I'm surprised to see you, said Alan. I'd forgotten I was married, but I should have known you'd pop back up again as there's a legal case in the offing. Alan has made the staggeringly dense decision to put on a show that no one wants to watch, featuring people who don't want to be in it. Finding the script is the hard bit, said Alan brightly. No, no, Alan, it's really not. How long have you been in Ambridge? How many of these bloody pantomimes have you seen? How many people have you cancelled through the aftermath of the death threats issued by Linda when they refused to learn 14 pages of blank verse and deliver it while dressed as a penguin? No one cares, Alan. Shouldn't you be more concentrating on the whole Christianity thing? What with it being Christmas and that? Little baby cheeses in the manger and Kira dressed up as Mary and Georgie with his hand in the collection plate. Also, Alan, it's Sleeping Beauty. Nothing happens. Actually, Actually, I can see how this is relevant to Ambridge now. Basically, it's a story of a woman who has a perfectly nice life until she gets involved with a little prick. It's the Lillian Bellamy story. The end.
Oh, that was nicely tied up. I like that. Thank you very much, Lizzie. It's
That's a pleasure, my love.
Oh, I do love your joys, so to speak, whether they're in a hedge or not. Oh, my God. I have to say, Lexi isn't laughing as much at the moment, but I do like her.
She's not. She's shouting quite a lot. Was she? But the thing, that was completely out of order, though. What was she even doing in that meeting? I mean, but what was she doing? You know, because you have a I know it's nothing. Well, it's you sort of have a similar job to Roy, don't you? Kind of.
What, bonking Bulgarian colleagues?
No. Ish. No, right, that's not your job. That's your hobby.
Yes.
But as a job,
I'm just pouring some whiskey because I'm. If I'm going to get a stiff talking to, I must have a stiff drink at the same time.
I mean, would you, if you were about to tell off a member of staff? Would you just haul in a random other?
Your girlfriend? No. Yeah. Yeah, come and watch this. Look how hard I am.
Exactly. Right. The first thing I've got. What the bloody
hell? I really don't understand. Who's the fucking line manager there? I mean, everyone's managing everyone else. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't. Chefs are notoriously difficult. And Ian is... And it's changing. In my experience, it's changing. But Ian is quite a pussycat, really. So, the worst that Ian's done has been a bit grumpy and fucked up the ordering, which to me is a regular day for most chefs. So, I mean, what's going wrong? I mean, so what? He heated up something to just below the point of the centre of the sun, and someone burnt their mouth. We should have blown on it first. I mean, lots of stuff is piping. I mean, anyway, I understand why they did that, but it's not the fact that Ian's getting a bit antsy and stressy. It's just the structure and the lines of management at Grey Gables is all over the place. But I guess that's because Caroline's dead and Oliver's not there, and you know, Kirsty's still sorting out plimsolls and flip flops or whatever. folding flip flops. And then, you know, before I forget, fucking hell, Sirs Arrers is opening this week. Have you got your invitation? Did you hear that little gem dropped in there that Sirs Arrers is opening this week? You know, everyone's going to bugger off there. I thought that had been kicked into touch, but no, it's not. Do you want to say, shall we
have some caller inners?
Yeah, that's what the show's all about.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
Right, first on the list is our old friend Glyn Fullerlove. Shall we hear what he has to say?
Yay.
Hello, Dumpty Dum. It's Glyn here. Haven't called in for a few weeks. It's nice to be back, having an opportunity to call in again. It's a Friday morning. During the weeks I've been away, the rather slow-running Matt Lillian Justin love triangle mutated into a rather slow moving police procedural. It feels like a bit of bindweed that's strangling everything else in the Ambridge garden. It would be nice if someone could cut it out, but I suspect it's going to carry on growing until at least Christmas. But we'll just have to put up with that. I noticed last night there was a Nick was put into the frame. Apparently she's very stressed and can't take part in the speed watch. And I suspect that's just another red herring. But all will make it become clear in due course. I was looking at the excellent character statistics on the website the other day. And the one that I always look at the people who haven't appeared in 2017 to date, and one of them is Richard Locke. And I don't well what's become of Richard Locke? He was brought back, had a little bit of a love interest, almost a love triangle with Shula and Elizabeth. There was some interesting stuff. He had a sort of troubled teenage daughter, and this all just petered out and he's disappeared completely. And you think, well, what was the point of bringing him back just for that? So it would be interesting if he could come back into it, or if they could explain that, oh, no, he's gone back to Manchester or something like that. Rather, it's another of these loose ends that your excellent emailer in the last week, Colin, was picking up on. Anyway, my 2 minutes are almost up. Thank you very much for the podcast and good wishes to all in.
No, oh, well, he just stopped. I don't know.
They were up soon.
He got cut off.
Locky, docky, locky. Where has he gone?
Well, do you know, one of my theories about things like this is that they...
If you're going to have a theory, I'm drinking beer, so I'm going to have my wasabi peas.
Oh, lovely. They're lovely, aren't they? But you've got to be careful with your dentures, yes, so haven't you? Because you can break your upper plate if you're not careful.
And also, every so often, usually when I'm on quite an important phone call and I'm called upon to speak, and then I get a really, really hot one, and it just makes
me sweating down your receiver.
Yeah, silently, unable to talk.
It's never a good thing, is it? So my theory is that they get these folks in, these actor types in, and they put them on a 3-month contract or whatever, come, and then their story starts to develop because they've taken an option on them, and then they've got some more work elsewhere, so they can't come back. So they're sort of left dangling for that reason. Occam's razor. You all right there? Okay, bloody hell. You've got to be careful. You don't want to get lead poisoning. No, you can't. And there's no lead in pencils. I should know that. So, yeah. I'd quite like to see Docky Locky coming back. But, you know, Alistair and Shula are perfectly primed for a re-emergence, for him to come stepping forth with his warmed stethoscope.
Let's now listen to Jane and her epiphany.
Hi there, Jane here, a new caller in a row. I can't remember when I started listening to The Archers. It was always on in the background. First thing I remember is Ruth having that on-off, not really affair years and years and years ago, so that kind of dates me. I'm just calling in with a plot prediction. I had an epiphany last week, didn't get around to calling in. Now, I'm kind of a bit on the fence. But anyway, I think Lexi is going to have Ian and Adam's baby. I thought it as soon as she had that rather odd conversation with Roy where he was feeling all guilty about messing up the surrogate. And I thought, oh, here we go. He's going to try and make things better. This week, she's had that big stand-up row with Ian, which is kind of setting up some kind of strange, gay, straight, unresolved sexual tension mix thing, which is going to manifest itself with sensible, straightforward Lexi saying, I'll have the baby. Might have some kind of Brexit thing where she has to leave the country when she's pregnant. Roy's going to get all weird about it, but also be trying to do the right thing. Anyway, that's my plot prediction. Let's see what happens.
More like Brexit rather than Brexit. Yeah.
Jesus, Jane, you have a
Well, I imagine Ian's got a turkey baster knocking around in the kitchen.
He must have blessed the one Helen used, wasn't it? She would just give it a quick rinse. It'll be fine.
Gosh.
A, Lexi is too old because I think she's the same age as Roy.
So she's late 30s, early 40s, you think?
Well, he has an 18-year-old daughter, which he had. Yeah, I think she's too old for a surrogate. And if you had somebody whose stay in the country is uncertain, I don't think you'd pick them as a surrogate because you wouldn't be able to bank on the fact that they'd be around for long enough. And more importantly, Roy cannot pimp his girlfriend out as a surrogate to ease his own conscience, surely. Shall we have Martin now?
Hello, all Dumpty Dum listeners and Dumpty Dummers. This is Martin Whitecross from Leeds in West Yorkshire.
Leeds, yay.
Well, I've been listening to The Archers now for quite a while. I've heard it since I was a child. And I think the scenes that are happening just now, well, it's very dramatic, especially Matt being run down. But anyway, forget Matt. Who done it? Well, I think it was Justin, and I do think this would be really dramatic. They get married, say, the 22nd of December, so the wedding could start. This is a plot prediction. The wedding could start as usual. Then Harrison could creep up behind the groom and say, if it's him and it is. So as soon as the registrar says, you may now, if you do not declare, if you do not wish to, for the couple to be married, you may now confess it. Harrison could then step in and say, Justin Elliott, I'm arresting you for attempted murder. You do not have to say anything, but it may harm your defence if you do not mention when questioned, etc., etc. And I think it should happen in front of the whole congregation because it would be so dramatic. And I think it would finish off the storyline. Okay, thank you very much, guys. Speak to you later. Bye.
Bye, Martin. Lovely to hear you. Thank you for ringing in. The Archers does have a bit of form for, you know, at the altar moments, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Surely they can't do another, you know, falter at the altar.
Yeah. It's not going to happen, this wedding, is it? It's so not going to happen. I mean, they've got a month to sort this shit out, and it normally takes people that long to figure out the bloody seating plan for the buffet. Never mind, you know, rebuilding trust, convincing the, you know, when the bride has accidentally embroiled her fiancé in an enormous pyramid horse-selling scheme for a fictional Costa Rican race course. I mean, you know...
when you put it that way,
it's not just deciding whether or not to have prawn vol au vent, is it really?
You know, I mean, oh gosh, yeah, she hasn't chosen a dress, never mind the color scheme or the flowers. So
it's all over.
If it does happen, it won't be happening on the 22nd of December or whenever it's supposed to happen. Is that a bad thing? Probably not.
I don't think so. As soon as, you know, I was feeling sympathy with him a bit. And then as soon as he said my house, I thought, get out of it.
When you put it that way.
I did.
Oh, gosh. Tell you what. Thank fuck. We've got another caller innery we can use to get out of this. All right. 3, 2, 1. Lord Louise. Oh, I love you so much. Thank God for you.
Hello there, every gosh darn Dumpty Dumber and all the ones who make Dumpty Dum possible. Thanks for being great. This is Lord Louise with just a little response to this week's episodes. First of all, on Sunday's episode, the great leaving of Matt, I think Lillian did the right thing in the end for her. She did love him in her own way, and giving him an hour's lead was enough. It was enough to assuage her sentimentality, enough to keep Matt out of jail so he can come back later and be an interesting asshole. But she's still being honest, and she's still saying really goodbye to him for good. While I was listening with my mom, neither of us could stop rolling our eyes every time Matt said, I did it for you. Ugh. And then on Wednesday's episode, I want to know who is this new silent Alfie fellow, and where can I find him to kick him in the shins? He has all the appeal of someone Ruth thinks of as suitable for Pip. Ugh. I like that Pip is using this handsome farming nerd as a wake-up call to the fact that she has other options. Beyond having a pathologically casual boyfriend, she feels she has to hide from her entire immediate family. Also, my mom said that episode made it perfectly clear to her why the cow wanted to kick Pip in the face. She's just that annoying. That's it from me for this week. I hope everyone is well and happy and all that great stuff. Rock and roll. Cheery bye. Bye. Bye-bye.
Pathologically casual.
Quite sage. Yeah, she's quite a sage person, our Lord Louise, isn't she?
But I don't know whether I think Lord Louise is channeling her own mother, though, because she just keeps quoting it. But all the bits that are absolutely bang on are she says, my mum said this. But I think your mum is absolutely right, Lord Louise.
Yeah.
I can completely see why the cow wanted to smack Pip in the face, because I think many of us would need to form an orderly queue.
Okay, I'm going to have to part company with that particular point of view. And I think people are being too mean to Pip. Silence. Okay, I was expecting that. But,
well,
you work with people on a regular basis. Most people are egregious. She's fine. She's okay. Yeah, she's a bit of a, you know, whatever. But she's not crazy. She's not vindictive. No. She's a bit, you know, whatever, up herself, but she's what, 24?
I think she's like 28. She's older, isn't she? I thought she was slightly older than that.
She's barely been back from university. Yeah. 2 or 3 years, has she?
It feels like longer.
It was only a couple of months ago that she was hanging around with Jude, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. God.
I think
she's put us through through so much. That's why we dislike
her. Yes, and I think it is a trait of...
It's a bit like Helen, you see.
Yeah.
You have sympathy with her, but then you resent her for putting you through
that.
Yeah,
victim blaming.
Shut up, every time she says whatever it is, however sensible. Morning, Mum. Oh, shut up, Helen.
I think it's the trait, and it's a definite characteristic of an Archer's listener, a long-term Archer's listener, is that we are misanthropic. We loathe most of the characters on the Archers. We do. Come on. And that's the point of it.
Well, I know that if you say to an Archer's person, who's your favourite character, they have to think. And if you say, who would you kill first? There's like, la, 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 la.
Give me a shotgun, because at least I can take two of them out at once. A smart bomb. Yeah, it's quite clever in that or the show's quite clever in that your most hated character changes from time to time. That when I first started listening, I loathed Linda, and then I grew to like her. I wouldn't say love, but yeah, like her. And then affection, yes, affection crept in, and now that relationship is dying again. But, you know, Tom, I sort of liked Tom for a little bit. I think it was when he was testing the pork stroganoff 4.5 years ago. But now, well, he's disappeared, but now he's a prick. David, I have to say, I've always quite liked David. I didn't think he'd be a best mate, but he's never done anything to really, really piss me off. Apart from that weird thing where he looked at the toy farm.
Yeah, you could tell he didn't want to do that scene. You could feel the waves of discomfort coming from the wireless, frankly. Yeah.
So there we go. I mean, who do you like at the moment? Who do you hate? And it can't be obvious people. It can't be Matt.
What do you mean because it you can't be obvious people?
Because there is it's often for irrational reasons that we despise people in real life, and irrational reasons that we despise people on the Archers.
Oh, God.
See, I have absolutely no fucking sympathy whatsoever for Auntie Cardboard. You know what? I wish they'd lowered that changing room on the fucking top of her. Just crushed her underneath it. I can't believe I said that. Where did that come from?
Exactly.
Like on The Wizard of Oz, when the thing lands on the wing, just her boot poking out from underneath. I really don't. Jolene. I always like Jolene. No. When she says, Lillian! She's the only person who can kind of, you know, because we all want to take Lillian warmly by the throat and shake her till her teeth fall out. And, you know, you actually get the sense that Jolene is quite close to really doing that.
Only because she loves her. We love Lillian, and we're frustrated by her lack of brain cells at the moment.
Yes, yeah. Sense. Common basic sense. Bloody common sense.
Exactly. So that's the one you love. Who's the one you hate?
I want to say Shula, but everybody does. I think
really?
I'm finding
Why?
Lexi very irritating.
Not as much as Anisha.
Yeah.
Not as much as
Anisha.
I know
you love her. But...
Because she's gone off to bury her mother.
Anisha's not in it, is she? Because she's looking after dead people. Yeah. How long does that take? How long does that take to bury your mother? Not very long.
Exactly.
So you throw the soil on. Well, it depends whether you're doing it yourself. Obviously, if you're doing it yourself, it takes bloody ages. But, I mean, I presume she's got some sort of administrator managing all that stuff. But, Yeah, no, I think Lexi, because she's just marched in and is taking over, and I don't like that. Probably because I do it quite a lot myself. So it kind of makes me think.
Okay. Oh, that's really interesting. That is really interesting. And that's true in real life, isn't it? That we often loathe and react more to people who remind us of ourselves.
Of our own appallingness.
Which is why I'm slightly irritated by Kenton from time to time, apparently.
Oh, are you a secret Kenton?
Quite possibly. I do
what
the
aspect
pop quiz.
Of you is Kentonish?
I
Oh, you love a microphone, don't you?
Yes.
You would be Mr. Loud Hailer, yeah, wouldn't exactly. you? Any bloody
you know,
chance.
I was thinking, oh, should I say that? No, I shouldn't. But, and then you said it for me, so thank you very much. Yeah. And that's been pointed out by my right, friends of mine who pointed that out when I'm doing the pub quiz. Yeah. At the Marsh Harrier. I go Kenton-esque.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you imagine you're pushing people out of the way to get to the microphone and to get near the loud hailer. And...
But I'm better with money than Kenton.
Mm.
Exactly.
Well, you could be a lot worse, really, could you?
So yeah, maybe that aspect
unless
of
you
me
were actually
anti
cardboard, you could not right, be a lot worse.
Kenton, so who do you think you are most like in the Archers? I bared my soul.
Lillian.
I was going to say, I think you're more like Lillian.
Lillian.
Yeah. Oh. That's why I love you so much.
Yeah.
They are related, though, aren't they? Somehow by marriage. Somehow.
Kenton doesn't love Lillian. Right, shut up. Stop talking now. Let's do the email. The
okay.
email.
An emailer in a row.
It's Welsh Witch. She said, what if Justin knew of and was in on the racecourse scam? If he found out about Matt's deception, that would be another reason to want him out of the way. I think Justin could be in financial trouble. Did he invest as well? And a suitcase full of cash could be just what his bank balance needs. But there again, I'm probably talking a load of... He just put lots of asterisks. That could be
Codswallop.
Bollocks? I don't know. Yes. No, it's too short to be Codswallop. Thanks for the show. And thanks, Royfield, for the restaurant tips. Who knew Royfield gave restaurant tips? Does he do that? He never gives me any.
Yes, it's Royfield's restaurant tips. It's a new podcast available on iTunes. Have you not listened?
10 US restaurant tips. I did not know about this. This has opened actually, up a whole new
oh, like, to Royfield. No, I can't say that. Yeah, carry on. All right, so I said it. So a friend of mine suggests that we do a podcast together. No, this person and I do a podcast together, whereby we go on a date together. And so we
me
go
and
out and we review the restaurant and then.
Oh, yes.
That's exactly what this person said. Yes. Anyway, coming soon, so to speak.
And then you go home and leave the light on and then we can review the rest of it.
Oh, Lord. I literally do not know what to say. I think it's about time we took an ad break now, don't you? Right. We'll be back after this short message.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Look what free speech has gotten you, right? And if free speech is going to bring a Hitler to power, are you still going to defend the rights of those people to speak?
If you talk about the things that affect your daily life.
The secret to being a good actor.
I don't really care, actually, whether Britain remains Britain.
His dad was actually murdered in front of him.
Marine Le Pen has changed the Front National.
If it's like kind of like a documentary investigative reporting, serialized true crime, that often gets into questions about the justice system or the media.
In an uncertain world, there's always music which can be listened to in good company. Welcome to Friday 15, the show where we speak to friends and interesting people to the backdrop of great tunes and allocate 15 minutes to both.
Good question. Really good question.
Hi, I'm Kate Madicani Aldridge. For now, anyway. I'd like to welcome you to Spiritual Home. As a client of Spiritual Home, you've already shown that you're someone with an enlightened aura. Someone better, like me. So, I'd like to suggest that you also support Dumpty Dum at patreon.com. If you do, you can get their extra content. It's the actual meaningful stuff, not the usual drivel. It doesn't matter how much you sponsor them for. I think they're pretty desperate, to be honest. Okay? Patreon.com. And, obviously, if you ever need a vaginal steaming, you know where I am. Blessings.
Now, I know a lot of listeners will be disappointed that we haven't played a Witherspoon caller innera audio clip this week, won't they, Lucy?
They'll be devastated.
But you're in for a treat, because we have a special guest star.
How did we persuade him to do this, for God's sake?
What?
How did we persuade him to? The man's a professional. And we've said, oh, by the way, would you mind just reading out all our social media? God, love it.
No, when he works with us, he does it. Anyway, so in lieu of Witherspoon calling in or us playing his caller in there, here he is doing the social medias. I'm a fucking chicken. Anyway, this is how it should have gone.
Greetings, Dumpty Dummers around the world. It's Witherspoon and Angus Haggis here. As Yoko Bear is teaching a course in a castle haunted by the ghost of Nigel, I'll be stepping into his big shoes to do the social media roundup this week. It's been quiet on the forum, but Audrey Ann Covarrubias of Alameda, California, home of baseball's Oakland A's, did resume a thread that never seems to go away. What of Pip and Toby? She is steadfast in her belief that they will get back together, and that this is all a bit taming of the shrewish. But I ask, who's the shrew in this couple? I think that we just heard the door gently close on their relationship. Who knows, maybe we haven't seen the last of that nice lad Matthew, or we'll all be singing the praises of Alfie. Meanwhile, our Facebook page, now with 1,680 liker lurkers, was sizzling this week. Millie Bell and I presented two contrasting views of Peggy. MB is not one of her fans, considers her bossy and ungrateful, while I, though I'm not in love with her parenting style, do know that Peggy is like many mothers who are harder on their children than they are on others. Lillian actually quoted her mum when she confronted Matt on his criminal behavior. There were many other opinions expressed. Among them were Amanda Q and Christina Vining, who are big supporters of Peggy, whereas Dave Harding and Al Williams are not. Dave called Peggy a self-serving old hag, while Al noted she is a bossy old bat who treats her children like servants. Martin Vandenhuvel pointed out that Nola Tondo affectionately calls Peggy Go-Go. That relationship does appear to be sweet and is softening both of their hard edges. My favorite response was from Leslie Greaves, who said, Peggy is a rich, autocratic old lady. What's wrong with that? It's my ambition. Millie Bell asked us whether Adam should be panicking and noted that the police should never try to fit him up, or as we say in America, frame him. Many disagreed and are worried that the wrong person could be arrested. Paul Dishman wondered whether he should have had a solicitor with him in the police station. Ben Johnson added, Adam never underreacts to anything. Every stub toe or splinter is announced as a terminal diagnosis. Ah, so true. Another post from Millie Bell that made me chuckle aloud was, Justin did not have his happy pants on today, did he? Valerie Bayless did not blame him because from his point of view, Lillian appeared to have chosen Matt over him. Both Gordon Bavard and Chris Walsley wondered whether he left them at Miranda's. Millie Bell also expressed contrasting views of Lexi. First, she asked whether Alexei would possibly be the surrogate for Adam and Ian, and then took her to task for overstepping her boundaries in workplace management. Many people initially agreed with the notion of Lexi being a good choice of surrogate, but I thought exactly as Royfield did, that it should be someone from outside the village, and also suggested Kaz. Karen Hodgson is still sticking with Kate. I say, God forbid to that. And in response to Lexi's interference with Roy's chat with Ian, I pointed out that the table of organization at Gay Grables is very confusing, and Martin Vandenhoevel expressed his frustration in Kathy frequently being mentioned in any workplace discussion there, but she remains missing in action. Let's start a new social media meme. Bring back Kathy and her son, too. Well, I've come to the end of my social media musings. I thoroughly enjoyed that. Talk to you all soon.
Well, he did very well there, and I think it's quite right. I think Kathy's got to come back at some stage, hasn't she?
I know. Well, I don't know, but when she does come back, if and when she does come back, it will be like someone's found sugar. I mean, it will just be. They can't just go, oh, hi, Kathy, as she walks through. It's got to be a, oh, my God, it's Kathy. And we've got to have a special theme tune, and the announcer's got to say something, and it's going to be a huge thing.
I think it will be, Kate Bush would be at Wuthering Heights. It's me and Kathy, I've come home. That would be the best action we could take. Any rub-up, as we say in Yorkshire. Is it about time we heard about this week's tweets?
Yes, I think it is. We have Victoria Seller, who's had Toby saying, Pip, we've had some great times, and the listeners going, how come we couldn't have heard some of them?
Very good.
Victoria Littler had Lexi saying, what if Kathy finds out? And Roy saying, who the fuck is Kathy? Ruther Ian, this is a stand up and applaud. Oh. Johnny used to love tractors, but now he's not so keen. He's an ex-tractor fan.
I love a good pun, and that's a very good pun. Well done.
It is good. So Duckling Tuft took on the interrogation of the Hunt Ball attendees. How were your movements the night of the Hunt Ball? Flower Power Gardening put, hashtag loose. And Alternate Archer had Lexi. Who gives a little rundown on the situation after the end of every episode, and Lexi said, Roy very stressing. He maybe worry about Ian, but maybe also about chat we have last night. I tell him, no more flapjacks in bedroom, and he sulks. He smell like hobnob when making intimates.
Who would eat a flapjack in bed?
Roy would smell like a hobnob. Roy would smell like a hobnob even if he hadn't been eating hobnobs.
You reckon?
He's just that sort of bloke. He'd smell like fabric conditioner.
Oh, people who smell of fabric conditioner. No. Because I think...
Sexless. Absolutely sexless. Well,
I won't go near him then.
Anyway, he probably lights the light off.
I'm editing that bit out.
You can't. It's up to Royfield and he won't.
As I said, no.
Depends which of us sends it over to him first, though, doesn't it? Oh, it's me again. Hurrah! If you like to help keep our little show on the road, there are two ways this can be done. You can donate by hitting the donate button on the site, or you can sponsor us via patreon.com.
Marvellous. And remember, to get in contact, you can send us a voice message via SpeakPipe on the website or call 0203 031 3105. That's 0203 031 3105 to leave a message. And you can find Royfield and Lucy at Dumpty Dum, and that's at Dumpty Dum, all one word, on Twitter. And Lucy is at Lucy B. Freeman, and I can be found at Naked Fingers. And that's it. Bye all.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.